Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show that explores all avenues of transformation and aims, as ever, to offer some nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature. Although sometimes that might feel counterintuitive, just like a bird, the nightingale, singing out in the dark. I'm JJ, otherwise known as the Practical Alchemist, very happy to have you with me today for a show that was great fun to create with two fellow UK Health Radio presenters, Liz Larson and Bill McKenna. Liz and Bill's show is called New Life Perspectives, and we decided to record our shows back to back, almost as a part one and two. I went first as a guest on their show, and you can listen to that now if you go to the New Life Perspectives page on the UK Health Radio website. But before we start part two, a few words about my guests. Liz is co-developer and collaborative partner in the Cogno Movement Systems with Bill, who is the founder. Both are writers. Liz is the author of an e-book called Suffering is Optional, a title I love. And Bill is the author of The Only Lesson, again, a great title and message. Both of them are pioneers in the realms of consciousness and well-being, and they're dedicated to helping people change their lives in order to thrive. They're definitely my kind of people. So now, without further ado, here's how part two of our conversation went. Well, Liz and Bill, we talked about all kinds of things on your show. But I was doing a lot of the talking, most of the talking, and most of the talking about all the things that I've experienced, things I've let go of in my life, connection to nature. I want to hear about your experiences and how that's influenced the work that you do. So, I don't know, maybe Liz, we can start with you. Tell us, where do you find that you can tap into nature, let's say, and how do you think that affects you?
Well, this is super interesting because if anyone knew me, they would not describe me as an outdoorsy girl at all. I like camping at five-star hotels. However, my husband is very, very, a very earthy kind of a human. And he has these off-road vehicles. And in our area, I live in Southern Oregon in the U.S., we have some amazing, amazing things that no one ever sees because they're inaccessible. So grudgingly, in the beginning, I would go on these outings with him. But he knew what I was kind of interested in. He found himself a couple of vortex sites, some amazing pools of water that are just incredibly clear, crystal clear. Places that you would imagine that fairies live there. I mean, it just looks exactly like that. And when you're there, you're almost certain that's what's happening. So locally, that is one of the things I do. We go out in nature, put our feet in these creeks, experience these vortex sites. And it's so funny, when he comes home, he'll say, I think I found a false door. Now, my husband does not have this kind of vocabulary, except for that he does around certain things. I found this place and it feels a certain way. Do you want to go see it? And then we do. One of the things we've experienced is this massive field of what's called Darlingtonias. They're a pitcher plant, so they're a meat eater, but they look like something out of this world. And when we're there, there is a feeling like I've had nowhere else. And I can see the electricity there. There's like a conversation that goes on. And when we go back and visit, it's like visiting families. And then on the way home from that, there'll be big downloads of information. One of the other things I'm so fortunate, I guess you could say, is I live near Mount Shasta, about an hour and a half. And we'll go there, but I have to say we go there sparingly because Mount Shasta's fickle, but the energy is massive. And there'll be a call to come to Mount Shasta, go up on the mountain, visit what's called the false door, you know, go to the vortex sites. And it's different every time. But when we get the call, we go. And then some of the most amazing experiences of my life have happened at Mount Shasta, very randomly. And I have to say, I'm a skeptic. So I, you know, at first I thought there's no way they're, you know, everything, they're just making up stuff about Mount Shasta. But I can assure you they are not. There are some amazing forces there. And it's a place of teaching When I go, I know that I'm going to learn the next thing that I need for this amazing journey that Bill and I are on of creating a healing modality that expands so rapidly. And it's almost like needing an infusion of that kind of energy. Maybe it's a cellular upgrade. Maybe it's just a place where that information is more available. In your show, you talked about how much crystal there is in Scotland. This is one of those places as well. So I would say for me, those are those outdoor reconnecting with nature spaces that make a huge impact in the work that we do.
Wow, and I love that he talked about it being a place of fairies, or you talked about it being a place for fairies. Have you ever seen one?
I can't say that I have. What I have seen is flashes of light that look like that, and more of a presence in these one area specifically. There's a very almost a playful, excited nature. Another place in the same area, but just hundreds of yards away, there's a deep sensation and sometimes a skunky smell as though Sasquatch might be there. So I can't say that I've seen it with my eyeballs. However, once I was on Mount Shasta and I met a man who I think was not a terrestrial person, let's just put it that way. And he was very strange, but at one point he was down in the ground at the sacred well at the top of the mountain in a place called Panther Meadow. And he had these big telephoto lenses, which was an odd thing as well. And he looked up and said to me, "If you look closely through these lenses, you will actually see the fairies." And I think that was my first introduction that maybe there really was that. And
It's
so, yet later on in this place that we visited, had that same sensation, the same feeling, and the same light quality.
No, it is interesting, and there's a place in the Highland Perthshire that is known as a place of the fairies, and there was a vicar, you might say, but we call them ministers here in Scotland, the Reverend Robert Kirk, I think his name was, and he used to talk about this these other dimensions and other groups of people who we share this planet with. And I visited that hill. It's not a mountain really, but it's a hill, and visited that place. And he talks about, yes, fairies, but also little people. Now the Irish talk about little people. And I lay down, it's a lovely summer's day, and I remember lying down on a very mossy bit of ground with mossy tree trunks, lying around. And I remember lying down and having a rest and just, soaking in the ambience. And my word, it was almost as if I could see small people walking around me. Not tiny, but sort of child sized, baby sized. And that was when I thought, oh, well, maybe there is something to this. Maybe we, we just can't see them usually. So yeah, but there is that feeling there as well, isn't there? You do feel the sensation of it.
On one of those trips, I got a bit of information. I always call it a download because I don't know how else to describe it. But we were in a place that was very, very remote. And, I'm looking at the trees and having the experience of being there. And this bit of information is this. We live in a town, but here are these places deep in the mountains that no one ever sees. And an entire civilization goes on there. So if you think about one tree and all the things that live in it, that are having a life cycle, that are having families, that are communicating with each other, that help with the health of a tree, the mycelium in the ground, there's this massive amount of information and a whole universe that exists in that one tree. So if that's true, imagine what else there is that's happening without our knowledge all the time. And it could be a whole universe in one cell, of a leaf on a tree, or it could be a universe so massive that we can't even imagine it, but we, because we have no knowledge, just don't look for it, just don't see. But if you look closely, you start to see it. You start to have the experience. So for me, whether it's the traditional fae of lore or something else entirely, it becomes really, really apparent when you're quiet and really watch and look with different eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, they do say that one of the reasons why, I don't know if this is just a story, but one of the reasons why the Native Americans didn't notice what was happening to them when Columbus arrived was because they'd never seen ships before, so they didn't know to look for them. Bill, what do you reckon to that? Do you think that's a bit of a tall tale, or do you think that's actually what happened?
I've actually heard that, and I've heard, in different cultures, they had no word for blue, and then they because they didn't have a word for it, they never they couldn't see it. Anyway, another fascinating thing that people can look into, but yeah, this is one interesting conversation. I tell you what, we've gone right to the edge of the woo-woo stuff. It's so interesting, and to actually, speak with people who've had these experiences, legitimately out there having these amazing experiences. My experience is, as far as nature goes, is definitely not as dramatic. I about all I can say is that I remember from back in the day that if I watched a sunset, it used to make me really kind of mellow and tranquil. And everyone else, the group of guys, when I was in college, we would go to Carmel where one of my friends lived, and just had the most wonderful time. And I remember being there, they love to go down and watch the sunset on the ocean. That's kind of a tradition there. And I remember every time going away from it is like, no matter what the problems were in my life, I was like, everything's good, everything's fine, everything's good. And it wasn't until many years later, when Liz and myself were introduced to this measuring device. It's called a BioWell, and there was a physicist out of I think it was the University of Prague, and he was working in the area of photonic emissions, and he had combined Carilion photography, which you can actually see energy of anything, a leaf, whatever it might be. It's been known for hundreds of whatever. It was right around the time of the discovery of photography, Carilion photography was discovered, and you could see the energy coming off of really anything. Well, he had developed this device where he combined that with Korean fingertip acupuncture. So he would measure the energy coming off of each fingertip, and they were able to, because the Koreans had already mapped, let's say your first finger up towards the edge of the fingernail, that was, let's say, your kidneys. And then the one on your middle finger over to the right, I'm making this up, but let's say it's your left eyeball, But anyway, they had figured all this stuff out, over the few thousand years. And he had combined these to make this device where he could see the energy for every part of your body, either maybe it is overactive, it's underactive, it's imbalanced, these sorts of things. And beyond that, was able to start deciphering The energy centers that are known as chakras, that you have these energy centers. So he's able to start to measure the amount of electricity or voltage that you have in all these centers. There's a point to this story. And the point being that because Liz and myself got the devices and got trained up on it, we were able to do experiments. It's kind of interesting to say, my chakra is really open, but is it really, what proof do you have of this? Well, there's a device that can actually measure this. So I got the idea, like the sunset. I want to go over, test myself before sunset and after sunset. And I so did the test. And when I watched the sunset, the energy centers became perfectly balanced right to the center line. But before they were all over the place, and that was so interesting. The other experiment that was done, and it's funny how our lives come together, but I had heard in my youth the Native American Indians would say, if you put your feet on the ground, this you can feel the ground with your feet and it will give you energy. Mother Earth gives you energy. And you're like, whatever, I don't know, but with this device, you could actually measure it. The voltage in your body went like almost double when you connect to the earth with your feet. And we now know a lot of science about that from grounding, but we can measure it. So being on the beach, watching the sunset, take off the shoes, and you have kind of this experience of that just feels good. So that's my kind of my experience of connecting with nature and how I guess having the a little bit of science behind it really is like, oh, that's why I feel better. That's why I'm not worried anymore.
Yes, it can be very reassuring to know the science behind an effect like that on the body. I feel the same whether it's sunset or sunrise. There's something magical in both. Well, we'll hear more from Bill in a few minutes because right now it's time to take a short break. Stay tuned for more from Liz Larson and Bill McKenna right after these messages.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio with me, JJ Stenhouse, the practical alchemist, and my fellow show hosts, Liz Larson and Bill McKenna. Now, before the break, Bill was explaining how we can now measure the kind of effect that watching a sunrise had on him. And I put it to him that before we had a way to measure it, it just would have seemed magical, like something straight out of a fairy tale.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was. I knew I felt that way, but it was like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because you're tired or God knows what. You make up a story.
Yeah, you do. You make up stories. And that's one of our issues as human beings as well. We make up these stories. We all live by stories, but we do make up stories that don't tend to serve us a lot of the time. Liz, what do you have to say about that? I mean, we love stories, we tell stories, we live by stories, but a lot of the stories just, we could just let go of.
I mean, that is our work in a nutshell. So for Bill and I, it's thousands and thousands of hours of research, but really we learned that the nervous system, the limbic system, the part of the body that actually takes in all the information around us, including these woo-woo feelings, right? Including that, when the hair on the back of your neck goes up, right? Including my explanation of download. There's this part of our natural body that takes in information, and it's our nervous system, and it extends 6 to 8 feet even out around the body. So, that's how we feel each other. That's how we connect with the greater field around us, right? But its number one job is to keep you safe and alive. So it's a threat assessment system from the word go. The minute it starts to form in the womb, that's what it does. A loud noise and mom screams and adrenaline flows and there's cortisol. The forming body's like, oh, okay, loud noise. That's obviously scary. It could kill us. We should watch out for that, right? So, you pop out into the world and any loud noise makes you, go insane. So, but then what happens is it creates a sensation, a feeling, right? So in the case of woo-woo stuff, you have this feeling the hair on your neck stands up. Maybe there's something good, you feel excited. And then that feeling gets sent to the brain, and the brain is an interpreter, and it interprets what is that about? What does it mean? And it also depends on what part of the brain is handling that in the moment. Is it your left brain, which is handling stress? Is it your right brain, which handles creativity? So it might be a fantastical story about fairies, like we were talking about, or ghosts or aliens, or if you're religious, it's going to go more towards God or Jesus or Buddha, right? So it interprets the sensation. And maybe what it really is, like Bill said, is a powerful surge of energy from the earth. The massive magnetic fields that you feel in Mount Shasta. It may be as simple as that, or it may actually be this metaphysical thing. But the other problem, the big problem with it is the problem state is that when it's something that is feels like something we've experienced before that was a threat, fear, then we make up stories about how we're unlovable, we're unworthy, we're left out, we're abandoned, we're ugly, we're, on and on and on. And again, they really are just an interpretation of a feeling that the body has, and the brain interprets it and makes up, what do we know? What have we heard? What have we seen? It collects all that information and then builds a story. And in our work, what we discovered is that probably 99.9% of those stories are not true. They never happened, at least not the way you think they did. And then when that neural pattern is collapsed, and there's a way to do that, when the body no longer recognizes it as a threat, what emerges is maybe what really happened. Maybe what your life really is about, who you really are. And the beauty of you and your gifts and all the things you came to the planet to do, that's what becomes available. It's almost like it sneaks up from the basement and shows you the truth. So I think our stories are important. They're how we learn and how we teach each other. But I think a really great thing to remember is most of them are highly inaccurate because they're told through fear, through wanting to keep us safe in some way.
Yeah, that is true. And I talked when I was on your show about how I'd been through something recently that had triggered me. And, I was telling myself all sorts of stories. Absolutely. This person was this and, weren't doing that. And then I was getting triggered. And then I came to a realization that that's all, absolute nonsense, really. How do I know that? I can't get into somebody else's head just like that, with that. And so what was I doing? Just, repeating this story to myself when it actually doesn't matter. It doesn't, it needn't affect me. And, at that point, I just went, okay, forget that. And the lovely thing about it was that I actually could feel some love just pouring out, sort of thinking, do you know what? These people, they don't, they can't help being where they are on their journey. So why would I beat them up, even only in my own mind? And that's a freedom. The free when you drop that story, that's a real freedom. What do you think about that, Bill?
Well, my hat is off to you for actually doing that. You can in the previous part of my life and my existence, I would say I spent a good deal of time trying to talk people into doing what you're saying right now. I talked to my people to their blue in the face. It took a very special and rare individual to do what you just did. Most people will go to their grave with it. And they'll, damn it. Every single one of them has had one thing in common. Two words. I'm right.
Yeah. And I tell you, my mother could bear a grudge for many, many years. I don't think she ever let people off when she decided that she was right and they were wrong.
Right,
Yeah.
one of the things that really, when everything changed, when Liz magically appeared in my life, and I would say, the development of cognitive movement, that fundamentally we stopped asking people to change their mind. It went from, hey, you'd be really good if you forgive this person. You might want to consider it's a better life for you. You're going to be more prosperous if you let this one go and try that. No, we actually started doing something where we let the person feel exactly how they feel. And we did these neurological stimulations. And when I say neurological, that sounds like really weird. People are kind of listening to this. What do you mean a neurological stimulation? But well, it turns out that your eyeballs, your brain, and your spinal cord are one neurological system. It is, in fact, one system. Dr. Andrew Huberman out of Stanford, the university, he had commented that the eyes are actually the only visible part of the brain because it is one. The interesting thing is that as we move your eyes, let's just say your mom, we'll take her as an example. Your mom, she would, if she was to think about the I'm right and they're wrong, and really let herself feel that, there's a place where her eyes would start to jitter. They'll move like they won't be able to track. They may feel like there's sand in them. They become very dry. They feel like they're pulling. Different things like that. And we knew that it was because everywhere we look is a different part of our brain. So when we allowed somebody like myself, I identify with your mom, by the way. There's blood there, I'm sure, back in the day. I think that part of the world we know how to hold a grudge.
Yeah.
I certainly intuitively understood this really well. And I could hold on to it. That part of the brain is that is in resistance to seeing another point of view or whatever. The eyes will start reflecting it. And when the eyes can start to be in that particular location, in that particular depth of vision, where it no longer hurts, it no longer pulls, it's no longer dry, it's no longer eyes are watering, whatever it might be, that part of the brain starts coming online. And with it, what happens is entirely new thoughts. What we have is, in a word, it would be a competing belief. She's been, if you're from that part of the world, Catholicism was big, so you have this competing belief of Jesus said you forgive, and on the other side of it's like, no, not gonna do it because I'm going to hell or maybe purgatory. So anyway, these competing belief systems work their way out, and without saying a word to try to convince somebody of something, as Liz Larson says, the system, the nervous system, auto corrects. It automatically corrects itself. And this turns into an entirely different life.
It is amazing, isn't it? Well, hold on to that thought. Not any grudge, though. Let's not hold grudges, because it's time to take another short break right now. We'll be back with Bill again right after these messages.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And you're back listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and with me today are Liz Larson and Bill McKenna, two fellow UK Health Radio show hosts and the people behind Cogno Movement Systems. Before the break, Bill was telling us how easily our nervous systems can auto-correct. Here he is again.
The most amazing, I know we had talked about a few woo-woo things, and one of the woo-woo things that just absolutely, positively blew my mind was what Liz and myself eventually coined as the Cogno Movement relationship effect. One person, the person that had the glitch in the eye, it would resolve, and then the other person, thousands of miles away, would change their mind and call and apologize. And not a word said, but all of a sudden that's happening. I this one this particular story I want to tell is one of our practitioners in Australia. She has a daughter that has Angelman syndrome. Now, this girl's around 10 years old, and it's developmentally disabled, can't speak, has operating maybe below the level of 2 years old in every way. Now, they call them Angelmans for a good reason, because when you see if you see this girl on Zoom, oh my God, the love coming off of her. I mean, I get hit. I have never felt this before from a human. It's like, oh my God. Look at the love of this one is incredible. But she had a little thing. And from her birth, onwards, when she finally got some motor skills, she would go to the bathroom in a diaper, 10 years old, wouldn't get out of diapers. That's not so bad. But what was tough was that she would take, as soon as she would poo, she would take the poo and start painting the walls with it, painting the couch, paint the table, paint the floor, get the carpet, anything. And so you can imagine being the parent, even though you love this little girl so much, it's like you're tearing your hair out because, like, oh my God, I can't have anything. I am constantly cleaning. Anyway, Tia, our practitioner in Australia, she, Liz Larson came up with this. Liz says, you know what, Tia, why don't you do a session about how you feel about cleaning up and all the frustrations and everything. And she did the session. Unbelievable. She does the session and she somehow, you know, when we do a session, there's, you know, all these different eye positions that the person's in. She saw a vision of the early part of her life in New Zealand where she was responsible for the entrails. She worked on a farm, family farm. She had to clean the entrails of the animals slaughtered on the farm. That was her responsibility. Well, so there was kind of a history of like, oh my gosh, fecal matter. Blah, you know. And anyway, bottom line is she ended up clearing this, kind of like I talked about a minute ago, where there's disturbance within the brain. And I can barely even comprehend it today, even though we've seen so much of it. The daughter stopped, like stopped. It's now been, I don't know, a year and a half, at least a year and a half, maybe 2 years. I don't know how long. But the daughter no longer, as soon as she did the session, the daughter no longer does that whole thing where she takes the poo and paints with it anymore. So there is this quantum effect out there that we are constantly affecting the others.
Yes. And that, again, is something that a lot of people are just catching up with. And a lot of people still think is a fairy story. But we, all three of us here, have experienced how that works. And Liz, you know, I was talking when I was on your show about ancestral healing and about those traumas that are lodged in the cells. And we've got something even more recent here, but it's thoughts and ideas that we keep turning over in our minds and our systems that affect our reality. They affect everything around us, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, reality is the right word. Because once one of these powerful patterns, that's how we refer to it, it's a
Yeah.
pattern that runs through our bodies, but how we experience it is a feeling. And then the feeling is an idea. So throughout history, a group of people will feel a certain way about themselves or about another culture. We were talking recently about Armenians and the Turks. You know, and there's this terrible conflict. And so for generations, people will hold that feeling about the other, maybe not even having any idea what really happened, but there's a visceral sensation which creates a belief. And so it goes through generations and generations and areas, and even the land seems to get soaked with these feelings. But a lot of times people, they don't really know why they have them.
No.
It's just there. And so what we've discovered is that becomes your reality. What your nervous system believes is what your brain will see. If you think about like a hallucination, have you ever thought about this? I knew somebody who had hallucinations in the end of their life, and I would think about this all the time. There's something about their eyes that are sending information to the brain that you and I would say are not real. It's not real. But in their reality, it's 100% real. And we do the same thing. How we feel literally shapes what we think we see, the reality of the world. The minute the driver is gone, that sensation in the body, the belief is gone and reality changes. So people will say this all the time in my office. They'll be like, Liz, is this real life? And then when they go out, all the people look different. Sometimes the things in their town have changed. Actual timeline reality has shifted. So Bill and I, to our cores, believe that we can change timelines and realities by changing what we perceive first through our nervous system and then through our brains. It's actually crazy exciting.
I think it's great. It is exciting. And, you know, yes, I'm completely with you on that because I've experienced it myself. And, you know, talking about those feelings, even the land seeming to take on those feelings. We were talking in your show about the land in Scotland. And of course, there's a famous battlefield at Culloden. And if you go to that battlefield, I absolutely know that you will feel the grief, the devastation in the land and that battlefield. And then, of course, you know, people joke about the friction between Scotland and England and how the Scots hate the English, and that, well, it's kind of in the DNA. It's kind of in the ancestral memory. Now, Culloden wasn't just English against Scots. It was a much more complex thing, but that's what we remember. And so it's absolutely real. And I love, we're coming to the end of our time together. I've absolutely loved spending time with you two. Thank you very, very much. You must tell everybody, our listeners, I'm sure that if they listen to your show, they know, but where can people find out more about you and your work and work with you?
Well, then come to cognomovement.com, and it's Cogno, like cognitive, cognomovement.com. And there's all kinds of information there. We have two free ebooks that people can download. One is Suffering is Optional, the other is the tiny book, A Big Manifesting. They can come to YouTube, also Cogno Movement. And there's hundreds and hundreds of hours of videos and information and lessons. People can work with Bill and I directly, again at cognomovement.com. And then we have a whole world of practitioners as well that people could have a session and actually have this experience. And of course, there's New Life Perspectives radio show on UK Health Radio Network.
Of course there is. Of course there is. And I hope that everybody will listen to you regularly. And Bill, just before we go, do you have a last thought or suggestion for how people can change their lives?
So I'll give a free technique for everybody out there. You know, if you simply begin to what tell the story of whatever, and it could be your life, and roll your eyes. Roll your eyes all the way around, up one wall, across the ceiling, down the other wall, across the floor, and tell your story. You can actually verbalize it as you do that. Try doing that for like 10 minutes and notice if the story remains the same or you get new perspectives. You know, this is a simple, basic cognitive movement technique that anybody can do at any time. If you're having a conflict, you're having a hard time, you want some new information, you want some new perspectives, give that a go. And if you like it, come on down to cognomovement.com and get yourself some more.
I love that. I'm going to be doing that. Yeah, that's a fantastic technique. It's been an honor and an enormous pleasure to spend time with both of you, Liz and Bill, today, and in your previous show as well, the previous show that we did together. I just want to say thank you so, so much. Thank you for everything that you two do in the world. And thank you for being with me today.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
I did enjoy that. I hope you did too. Do check out the interview I did with Liz and Bill in their New Life Perspective show here on UK Health Radio for more on Scotland and transformation. Well, alchemy, really. And I recommend their website too. There's a wealth of information on there, as well as how you can train to become one of their coaches. We're coming up to the end of the year. It's a time when many of us make New Year's resolutions. And let's face it, not so many of us stick to them. I wonder how it would be instead of making resolutions, we decided to let go of one or more of our stories that don't serve us. Let go of that negative tale that's going round and round in our heads like a hamster on a wheel. We could use the eye movement process that Bill outlined and see what change that might bring into our lives, really with minimal effort. I'm pleased to say that I've just recently dropped one of my less helpful stories, and I've started to upload an almost daily video to my YouTube channel, Alternatively Speaking. It's a bit like a thought for the day, and I would love your feedback on that. So any likes, comments, and subscribers are very welcome. Once again, that's at Alternatively Speaking on YouTube. I'll also be uploading a video of this conversation to the channel in due course. Now, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram as The Practical Alchemist, and you can find out more about me and my work at thepracticalalchemist.uk. You can even book a free exploratory call with me if you feel drawn to working with me as a guide to your own transformation, or just book a session with me for energetic support or mentoring. And if you like a good read, then Health Triangle magazine has a wealth of great articles for you in the current issue. You can download that from the UK Health Radio homepage. And that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much for listening. I look forward to you joining me another time here on UK Health Radio as I meet more fantastic guests. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale. Thank you.